Dan Savage, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, why are you in Bloomington?
It's a secret. I'm writing a book about this human sexuality thing that we've all heard so much about lately. And for a chapter in the book, I took a human sexuality class here taught by Debbie Herbeneck. Debbie Herbeneck. Her name's last name's so hard to pronounce.
Herbeneck. That's, yeah. Well, so many people think of you as a sex advice guru. So it's funny in a way to think of Dan Savage taking formal sexuality classes because it feels like you know it all already.
But I don't know it all, and I've actually never taken a human sexuality class. So it really was, after 20 years of writing Savage Love, about time. And I learned a lot. All mad props and credit to Debbie and her really amazing class in human sexuality. I took it with a bunch of mostly college freshmen, 18-year-olds. And the things that I learned, the Cowper's gland, who knew about the Cowper's gland? Debbie knew, and sex researchers here at IU knew, but I didn't know.
I'm curious about your new book. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm curious about it, too. Now that I've taken the class, I have to start writing the book. It's about human sexuality as lived and experienced and the way we torment ourselves with this false idea of what normal is and what everyone else is doing and the standard we try to hold ourselves to, that if you actually look at the sex that any given person is having on a Saturday night, what we think of when we say picture normal sex is so rare, so freakishly rare, that the quote-unquote normal people are the weirdos.
You've actually written a number of books. People may or may not know that. You've written four. One was about getting married to your boyfriend. Another one was about the two of you adopting your son. So is this a case of the personal is political, or does your life just make for really good stories?
It's just a case of people kept giving me book deals and I had to pull something out of my ass. The personal is political. I really do think, not to flate myself too hard, I'm not that limber. I really do think that those two books about marriage and about starting a family as a gay male couple kind of documented a moment in time for particularly gay men, because lesbians, you know, have been having children forever. Oscar Wilde had kids. Gay men have been having children forever, but gay male couples really weren't having children and weren't adopting until, you know, 15 years ago or so, when the gay boom started. And you know, there's this, you know, when I came out, 16, 17 years old, and 1980, when you were telling your parents you were gay, it meant two big things: you were never going to get married, you were never going to have children, and those were not possibilities for gay men. And within, you know, a couple of decades, you know, within my lifespan, as an out gay man, both those things became possible for gay men, and both those things required kind of a massive adjustment in worldview, and you know, a personal assessment of what it means to be a gay man, and then a parent, and a gay man, and then married. And I think I hope those books, with a, you know, good deal of humor and insight, kind of captured those moments for gay men, are going to be an important document.
As you mentioned in your book, you're wearing a skull wedding ring that your son picked out.
Yeah, my partner and I had a 10-year anniversary party. We invited our family and friends. The invitation said no gifts, no toasts. And we decided to get married shortly before it, but not tell anybody. So everyone was at a wedding reception, but they didn't know it was a wedding reception. So our wedding, where we ran up to Vancouver and got married, was all very impromptu. And we were literally driving in the car, and we called the officiant, or whatever that person was called in Canada, and said, "All right, I think we have everything we need." And she said, "Don't forget rings." And we were like, how unprepared culturally were we for this moment? We hadn't even thought of rings. So we pulled off the highway and stopped at sort of a rock and roll jewelry store. And my son picked out these skulls, these like rocker rings with skulls on them, because till death do you part. And every time we look at the ring, he wanted us to remember that we can't leave each other until we're dead, and maybe not even then.
That's morbid, but fabulous.
It is. I think everyone should have a wedding ring with a big fat skull on it. It works for my boyfriend. On him, it looks rock and roll because he's so rock and roll looking. And on me, I wear my ring turned around so you can't see the skull.
Oh.
Because on me, it looks like I'm a white supremacist. It looks like a Nazi death head ring.
Oh, no.
Because I just don't look rock and roll. So
and
a skull ring on
me
gets misinterpreted on airplanes, so I turn it around.
Nice. Do you think we'll see gay marriage across the country in your lifetime?
I think we'll be surrounded in my lifetime. I think we're going to see full civil equality for gay and lesbian people, also known as marriage rights and everything else, in Mexico, all of Mexico, and most of Latin America, and all of Canada, before we get it here. Because, as I like to say, Australia got the convicts and Canada got the French and we got the Puritans. And we will be wrestling with them always. You know, we're always last in America when it comes to this freedom thing. The Brits did away with slavery 40 years before we did with a vote in Parliament, and we had to have a war. And then we had to have Jim Crow for 100 years, and we really didn't do away with slavery until the 60s and 70s. And culturally, we're still wrestling with its legacy. It's going to be the same thing for gays and lesbians. It's going to be the same thing for a female president. You know, Pakistan has had a female president. The Philippines. And, you know, Israel. Everyone's going to beat us to it. And when it finally happens here, we'll, you know, America and its traditional style will pay itself no end of compliments about what how wonderful, what it means, how wonderful it is. And someone's going to have to jump up on a chair and scream, you know, Benazir Bhutto, Corazon Aquino, Golda Meir, we're last, Margaret Thatcher, Angela Merkel, we're last. It's going to be the same thing with gay marriage. We'll get there eventually, but it'll be embarrassingly late compared to the rest of the world.
Well, let's talk some other current events type issues. Something that's in the news yesterday and today, don't ask, don't tell. So earlier this week, the Pentagon announced that they were now going to accept openly gay recruits. But yesterday, a federal appeals court put a freeze to that.
Yeah, federal appeals court just thought, hey, why not put a freeze on that? No, the Obama DOJ went to the federal appeals court and asked for an emergency stay because of the enormous potential consequences, of which there have been none. And gay and American soldiers are serving side by side in Afghanistan and Iraq with openly gay British and Canadian soldiers right now. So if the presence of openly gay soldiers is so deleterious, we would already have that evidence. It's not. It's a lie. And it's not judges just getting bugs in their butt about issuing stays. It's the Obama administration's Department of Justice that is dragging this out endlessly.
Well, with all this confusion that's happening around this the past few days, are we closer to seeing the end of this, or is it just going to keep going?
I think we're close to seeing the end of this. And this is the low-hanging fruit in the gay and lesbian civil rights movement. This fruit hangs so low, it's practically a potato. 70% plus of the country wants to see Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed. Broad majorities of conservatives, of independents, of Tea Partiers, and, of course, liberals and progressives and Democrats all want to see it repealed. It is not controversial, except among some ancient Republican senators, bigots like John McCain, agents of intolerance like John McCain. And, you know, we'll get there, and I think we'll get there pretty soon. And that and marriage really are kind of the final things we need to achieve to really get very close to full civil equality. And, of course, ENDA.
Yeah, but those really are the two big issues, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and gay marriage, and they're all over the news these
And they're going to be all over the news forever. You know, one of the things that so amuses me about anti-gay conservatives is if you really can sit down and talk to them, and I've done it, I don't recommend it, it's not bad for the blood pressure, what they object most to is hearing about the existence of gays and lesbians, about the newspaper stories, and, you know, they can't turn on the TV without their kids being reminded that we exist, and that may put it in the minds of their gay kids that they can actually come out one day and have a life. And they want to live in a world where they hear about us a whole lot less. Okay, well, give us everything we want, and you'll hear about us a whole lot less. The reason we're in the news all the time is not because we're just so fabulous. We're in the news all the time because you're denying us our full civil equality, and we are demanding it. That conflict keeps it in the news. You want us out of the news? You want to hear a whole lot less about us? Give us everything we want, because we're not going to stop demanding and asking. I was in the United Kingdom for a summer a few years ago, and, you know, I'm reading all the papers over there and watching the news, and it occurs to me that I'm not reading anything about me, about the gay thing. And it just, we're just like, oh, well, of course not, because they don't throw gay people out of the military, and they have employment protections, and they have civil partnerships. They have marriage and everything but name. And so gay people there really do have everything they want. And so there isn't this endless sturm and drang and conflict and wrestling and arguing about whether gay people deserve their full civil equality. They've got it. Same thing in Canada now.